Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This is a Crowd podcast. Hello, Deck.
Hello there, George. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. Is this a normal episode?
No, it's not a normal episode.
Thank you.
So we got no guests.
It's got no fans.
It's just me and you prattling on, which is
why?
A dream in itself. Because we've run out of guests. No one will come on the show.
You've pissed too many people off on your interviews. That's your problem.
Oh, is that, are you bringing, we're harping back to that,
yeah,
are
no,
we?
No.
No. We're changing it up this week, and this week we are doing our build up to this week's action in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, Anthony Joshua v. Francis Ngannou. Is it Ngannou v. Joshua or Joshua v. Ngannou?
Joshua's the A side. Joshua's on the left. So I think it's Joshua Ngannou, surely.
I saw a clip of them sparring and they both knock each other out. Have you seen that? They both
I've
hit the deck.
That.
It's incredible.
It's mad that they get access to sparring footage these days.
Yeah.
And it's mad that they're sparring each other in the camp, but that's what we saw. They both knocked each other out.
Yeah, they did. That must have been in Riyadh. Yeah.
No, it was actually in Barcelona. It was in Barcelona, that whole escapade.
I'm from Barcelona.
And you know, neither of them from Barcelona, but you know, it's like, you know, Joe Joyce before the Gilles Zhang fight, the first one, they mocked him up like Terminator with like the Terminator eye, like the bionic eye.
Yep.
And then in the fight, Zhang stops him on cuts on that eye. He ends up looking like the Terminator. It was like foreboding. And I'm just wondering, can we get a price from a bookmakers on the double knockout? Because they've it's almost like they've told the universe now. They've gone, this is what's going to happen. They've knocked each other out with the same shot. Maybe it's just going to happen in real life now.
Yeah.
You don't see him much these days. I mean, you don't see him much ever, but maybe this is the one.
I saw a double knockdown once in Rocky 2, and it was... It was heart in your mouth. It was incredible. I don't know what the bookmakers were, if anyone even had a price on that night.
No.
But
I'm going to have a bet on it because stranger things have happened. If I can find a price, and I'm sure someone will offer them, but they've done it now. They know, they've been through, they know the mechanics of it. So the double knockout is on the table. But, George, it's Wednesday. Yesterday, Monday, we had a little, how about that, classic. Tuesday, yesterday, we did the Francis Ngannou sort of deeper look into him and how he wins the fight. So it's only right now that we have a look at Anthony Joshua. At one point, Great Britain's leading light in this sport, arguably the world's, outside of Canelo, the world's biggest attraction once upon a time. Kind of not like that anymore. But he's worked his way back into contention. Do you think he's still the biggest draw we've got? Do you think he's still our golden boy? What, 12 years on from London Olympics?
Yeah, so that's an interesting point, because it was sort of like, it wasn't even up for debate, was it? Like,
no.
5 years ago, should we say?
He was the Don.
He was, but he still is. I think that crossover star, and it might just be he will always be that now because of the sort of the legacy that he's got and the work that was done with him to promote him and build it, build his brand. And heavyweights, you know, every fight always is a headline, isn't it? And Deck, yeah. you know more than me, like why fighters get in the papers. You know, he's one who you're always gonna get in the papers. He's one who we will do a pod week about, as opposed to a pod. And then obviously Tyson Fury is in that category as well. And then outside the two heavyweights in Britain, is there anyone else in Britain? Wouldn't say so. Not right now.
No, it's even waned for him though, because there was a time when I used to work for an agency, if you get stuff, you'd phone up newspapers, magazines, outlets, anyone, and say, I've got this bit from Joshua, I've got this bit from someone, George Groves, and this is what he said, do you want it? And most of the time with boxing, they'll be like, yeah. If it's Joshua, they're like, anything's news. If he farts, it's like, yeah, give me 2 pages. Like, it's
a big fart.
It's a big old fart. He's a big boy. But that was then, but it sort of waned a lot. And that's mad how it really works, that once you start losing, particularly after the Ruiz fight when he got knocked out, and then he's now seen, not by people inside the sport who understand anything, but he's sort of seen as like this fraud a bit. And it's like, oh, it was all a hype job. In America, that's what they say. Oh, it's all come undone. And then the sort of, that's how the story went with him. And then it's like, oh, but now he's gun shy and now he's gone weird and all this sort of stuff. So it's been a kind of crazy journey for him. Mm. I don't know, George, from looking in from the outside, do you feel like any of that is true? Or do you think he has changed over the years? Or do you think that's just a narrative and actually behind closed doors, he's sort of much the same? Because you know what it's like, because people said the same about you. They're like, oh, he's changed here and this has happened. But in reality, you're probably much the same. You're doing the same sort of thing every day, every week.
Yeah, I mean, you do change throughout your career because the experiences mould you and do change you. At times the boxing industry can taint you and you know, you have your ups and downs, your highs and lows, and as well as your experiences when you know, when you win, when you lose, they can make you sort of change your mind a little bit, and make you change your approach and your style. And I'd be shocked if he hasn't changed. He definitely has changed. You know, he's experienced a lot. He's had the dizzying heights of success, and then, you know, terrible lows as well after he's been beat. He's changed camps before, so he's been in different environments and he's had to rebuild. And the rebuilding is building back different, you know, building back different. So he's certainly a different fighter now to who he was pre-Klitschko, say, or definitely pre-Ruiz. And he's been in the public's eye at the very front, especially of the boxing fraternities. And so he's had to take the brunt of, you know, this criticisms at times where people have said, oh, he's finished, or he was a hype job, or he was that. And that's not true. It's not true at all. He's a very good fighter. What he had was a magnificent journey to the top, and it wasn't steeped with hurdles, like as in trials and tribulations, problems, should we say. And he got there at lightning speed, you know, and it felt like every door was opening for him. So that's why people think, well, he didn't have to work hard for it. He got the
lucky draw with the world title as well in the end, didn't he?
Lucky draw given to him. But that's boxing, yeah, and you have to capitalise on those opportunities. And he did. He did time and time again. You know, up until, I mean, when he's unbeaten, it's like, well, you're going to fight such and such for the heavyweight title. He's still got to go out there and do the job, you know, do the job. But that's not his fault. And he's gone out there and done it. I think credit now is that at this stage of his career, after the big nights that he's been involved in, he still, I mean, the last outing, he boxed really well. So he must have got himself in shape, knuckled down. You know, he's into his 30s now. He's been boxing at the top for 10, not 10 years, but yeah, like 8 years or something, he's been at the top. So it's a long time with a few losses to overcome and at times he has looked like he's sort of lost the plot, Deck, don't you think? Yeah. You know, the things he said, it's bizarre. But he's still going. He's still going strong. So I don't think that's a fair reflection of Anthony Joshua. You know, no. He's a good fighter, and He's not a hype job, is he? You know, you can't have been as far along the road as he has if he was purely a hype job. Hype jobs do get found out. You know, they do get found out. But at the same time, he's done things smart. You know, he still is the biggest draw. I think, is he still a bigger draw than Tyson Fury? Like, see, outside of the boxing circles, he is, isn't he? Because he's the one who got the endorsements. He's the one who, if both guys have a good fight, who's getting invited on, you know, Jonathan Ross or...
Yeah, he still has that luster, that sort of commercial value, even in defeat. But that did change when he started losing. Tyson Fury said some outrageous things in the past and he's been sort of, it's been flagged as such. And then, so he has a slightly uneasy relationship with certain sort of sections of the media, I guess, and he would probably agree with that. Joshua's never had that. It's always been pretty steady for him. But yeah, I think it's close. I don't think there's much in it in terms of like the man on the street who knows who and who likes who. Everyone's got an opinion on both of them. But I think Joshua, many people thought he was on his way out, whereas Fury's kind of on his way to the biggest fight of his life in Oleksandr Usyk. But I think Joshua's kind of back now. Just for those who sort of might have forgotten or don't know about Joshua's career, it was 2016 when he won that world title against Charles Martin. Charles Martin, undefeated at the time. But remember that he got that shot, or Martin got the belt because Fury, when he beat Klitschko and sort of broke that division open, then he went missing. He had the problems with his mental health and drugs and drink, and then he relinquished the belt. So then the IBF became vacant. Charles Martin boxed Glazkov, I believe it was, back in the day. Glazkov's knee went, so then Martin sort of won by default. And then Joshua was mandated to fight Charles Martin. So Joshua never had to go and box Klitschko for the, or a champion in that sense. Charles Martin was the champion, but not one who'd really earned it, if all that makes sense. So that was 2016. Then Joshua has those defences, Dominic Brazil, Eric Molina. Two solid defences, chins them both. Seventh round, third round. It's like, okay, he's arrived, he's the world champion. Then he has the epic with Vladimir Klitschko. And that was sort of like his arrival moment. For the people who were saying, well, he never had to win the belt properly. He goes and beats Klitschko, stops him, one of the best fights you'll ever see at heavyweight, at Wembley. Then, so Wembley Stadium, this is 2017, April. So what's that? 7 years ago. That was the first of 1, 2, 3, 4 stadium fights. Because then he boxes Takam and Parker in Cardiff. Then he boxes Povetkin back at Wembley. Four times outdoors, selling 80,000 tickets is absolutely insane. It just shows like how big he was at that point. Then disaster strikes, goes to New York, Madison Square Garden, American debut, gets knocked out or stopped by Andy Ruiz in just the most stunning thing you'll ever see at that point. One of the biggest, nowadays, now we don't look at it as such, but when it happened, it was one of the biggest shocks in heavyweight history. Still, you could say it is. Then he beats Ruiz on points. Then he beats Pulev. He's got the belts back. He's defended them. And then Usyk turns up in the division, beats him twice in a row. And everyone's like, oh, fuck. He has the breakdown after the second fight where he does the mad monologue at the end and he starts crying in the press conference and everyone thinks, right, that's the end of Joshua. But he's rebuilt since then. In the last 12 months, he's outpointed Jermaine Franklin in his first fight back after Usyk. He stopped Helenius in the seventh round with a big, like, Polak's right hand. Not at his best for the rest of the fight, but he got the stoppage. And then Otto Wallin, who many people, including me, had suggested might give him a tough fight, he's absolutely pieced him up. And the new relationship with Ben Davison sort of paying dividends already, done a number on him. And now people are like, the old AJ is back. Joshua says, AJ's not back, you lot are back. And there is a sort of sense of that, is that people are back on the bandwagon. People love big heavyweights knocking people out. And that leads us to here, George. So that's a mad old 8 years that he's had to endure. It's going to change anyone, isn't it?
Yeah, no, definitely. The problem they had was they kind of underestimated Usyk. Like, the Joshua team underestimated Usyk, who I think they just thought size matters. Big beat small. And even though he's Olympic champion, so is Joshua. Even though he's sort of unified the cruiserweight division, Joshua unified the heavyweight. They took him as a mandatory just to try and get rid of him, to keep hold of the belt so that they could somehow try and make this Fury fight. But Usyk's obviously he's a handful, because if you look at the rest of the fighters that Joshua has fought, like Klitschko, very, very experienced, very good fighter, one of the best heavyweights there's ever been, but was coming off quite a long layoff, if I remember, and he'd had back problems or other injuries. Fury had beaten him already, and he was a far cry from the Klitschko we fought, David Haye, who showed up and just looked invincible, you know. So Parker, great fighter, but you know, not quite at that size or level. You know, he's switched it on recently against Wilder, but I think that was a little bit of a shock to the system for Joshua, by the sounds of it. And that's when you thought, oh, he's going to spiral out there. He had that weird monologue, as you said, at the end of the fight. I didn't know he cried in a press conference after. And then when he came back, it's like there is that element with fighters. You think, oh, you're fighting now because you don't know nothing else, because you identify as the fighter. You've got enough money to quit now. You've got enough memories and accomplishments to leave the sport and probably think, well, you know, I've done my piece. I've had my bit. Because the Franklin fight, he didn't look like that great, but that happens after a loss, like first one back. And then
Franklin's decent as well, got to say.
Yeah, he is, but he's not deck, is he? Come on, he's not. He's
no,
not
but he wasn't this. Like, he wasn't turning up to get, he wasn't a knockover job. Like,
No, he wasn't a, what's his name? Demore.
Yeah, he wasn't a Mark Demore. Like, they could have taken an easier fight. He'd just done 12 rounds with Dillon White and done well. Many people eyes, he'd won that fight. It wasn't like, he was okay. And I think when you look back on the run, you're like, okay, yeah, he won on points. He wasn't at his best, but he still won comfy.
Yeah.
It was a good comeback fight.
Yeah. Great knockout against the Finnish lad. He finished him right off. He was out, wasn't he? And then Hellenius. He had a Hellenius of a time that night, didn't he?
It's heinous.
Valin, everyone's got to sit up and watch. So, I mean, I get what Joshua was saying, and I think that's a great line that he used. He goes, no, I'm not back. You guys are back, right? But the truth is, no, you are back. I don't like it when people say, just the old AJ. I think that's what he's probably hinting at. To get back to the old AJ. It's such a fucking shit line. Line. But the point is that, like, you was kind of flat and not really dangerous until you just iced Hellenius. You know what I mean? But so I know that sort of sounds like a contradiction, but it's not. And you wasn't dangerous against Franklin. You didn't look like a well beater. But against Valin, you're like, ooh, bloody hell. Put that guy in with Usyk. Let's see if Usyk can keep him off for 12 rounds. Put that guy in with Fury. Let's see if he don't hit the floor like he did against Ngannou. What's your Joshua intake?
Well, we said this to him when we spoke to him at the press conference. It was like, is the old AJ back? And he explained it beautifully. And this is why he explained why the alliance with Ben Davison works very well. Is he said, the old AJ, what people say when they say the old AJ, they're like, he should walk him down, be more aggressive, just throw more punches, which is what he wasn't doing against Usyk. And basically is what people say, which is true and fair. He said that the old AJ, so not the old AJ, but the old days, he would walk people down and knock them out because they weren't very good. Because going through the levels, they're just not up to it. And he was even saying that he's in the fight and he can just learn on the job. He's like, right, this guy does this, I'm going to throw a right hand and knock him out. But then as soon as you start boxing better people, even go and watch the Povetkin fight, which is a great finish. Early on, he has a lot of trouble because he's like, fuck, he's a much better opponent. He needs longer to work him out. And if it takes longer to work him out, he can sustain more damage, right? So the old AJ used to knock out people that weren't on his level. Happy days. If you put him in with those people now, you'd see the old AJ because he'd walk him down and knock him out. So with Ben Davison, what Ben Davison is doing is what Joshua says. Ben Davison and Lee Wiley, who are very into video analysis and all that sort of stuff and prep in that sense, which is not something that his previous coaches were doing, as says AJ, is they're doing the downloading of the data, as much as you might hate that phrase, but that's what Joshua says. They're doing the prep for him. They're doing the prerequisite work so that when he goes in the ring, he's not learning on the job in the first 2, 3, 4 rounds. He knows what he's got to do, like against Otto Wallin. He goes and does it. So that's why the old AJ's back, because he's not having to deal with better people because his training team are giving him the information and he's absorbing it. During the interview, he gets his phone out and he's sliding through his notes app. He's made notes on Francis Ngannou. He's made notes on all the heavyweights because he's watched them, and it says, he didn't let us see what he'd said, but they're extensive notes that he's sat down and written himself about these people, basically telling him what he needs to do and what he needs to not do. So he's not doing this on the job anymore. He's not doing it in the first round or the second. He's doing it in real time. And that's what he means by the old AJ. Mm. I think he's well in within his right to be saying fuck you to people after the adulation that he got when he was at his best and he was winning easy. And then the way it dropped off and the way he started getting criticism when he started losing, I'd probably be the same, to be honest.
To come back from that, just for listeners, yeah. Right? And I don't know what Joshua was doing before, right? But surely Derek James has watched Usyk box, gone to the gym with Joshua and said, he's very good at this, this and this, and you need to do this, this and this. That essentially what a game plan is. Whether you all sit down and watch the tapes together or not, that's another thing. You know, maybe some coaches don't bother doing that. So maybe some coaches don't want to do that with their fighters. Maybe their fighters don't actually want to watch too much boxing. But it's not a coach I've ever worked with, amateur or pro, who hasn't watched tape and come up with a game plan of how to beat someone. Like, I get it, what he's saying. He's learning on the job in the ring against these nobodies, and you still always have to have a think and a feel once you're in there. You know, you're computing what this guy does well, what he doesn't, and then they're giving you. But then your corner's giving you information at the end of the round as well.
Right, he said he wasn't really, and so this is all what Joshua said, and again, this is just all one-sided from him and his side, but he was with Rob McCracken for the first Usyk fight, and then they split with him, and then he brought in Robert Garcia for the second Usyk fight, who sort of was with Bam Rodriguez and stuff, and he didn't seem like, based on what they've both said since, it didn't sound like a harmonious camp. They brought in Garcia, and he wasn't doing that sort of prep. And then he goes with Derek James and he has to go to America and stuff, and all seems a bit strange. It obviously doesn't go so well. And then he's landed with Ben Davison, who's only around the corner and who he says provides him with that. Now, with all that in mind, George, now they've got Francis Ngannou in front of them, who they know from one fight as a boxer, the Tyson Fury fight. People will say, just go in there, walk him down, knock him out. He's not used to that sort of pressure. He didn't get it against Tyson Fury. He won't be able to handle it. Joshua wins early because of that. Do you think that's what he needs to do? Do you think his best route of victory is the quote unquote old AJ, if that exists?
No. Well, the old AJ is like show up with no game plan and just learn the job and hope for the best. Yeah. And it don't work, right? So no, Ben Davison ain't gonna do that, is he? Ben Davison's gonna do his utmost. He's that character. He will go through the archives. There's only one fight to watch, but he'll figure out. He's probably watching a lot of UFC at this point.
Yeah,
trying to work out what's his reactions like when he has ever been clipped or anything like this. But I think when you're of that size that these guys are, if you can be an aggressive counterpuncher, so if you can press off the front foot and force your opponent to punch and then punch after them, that's always going to be their strongest suit. So he doesn't need to just maraud forward and let his hands go as such. He can do it with caution, but he does it against Valen, where he's pressing for once on that front foot, hard jabs to the chest and the body and to the head, loads of variety. That's really what you want to be doing with Ngannou. And you want to encourage him to punch. You want to encourage Ngannou to punch. You still got to back your fitness over 10 rounds as a championship level. He's been a championship level fighter for 8 years now, and Ngannou hasn't been boxing 10-3 for 8 years. So you've got to make it uncomfortable for him. So, yeah, and the best way and the easiest way to make it uncomfortable for someone is to press them, force them to punch back.
Punch him in the face.
Yeah, you can do that
too. Make it uncomfortable for him.
Well, yeah, you know, it's easy. I mean, maybe easier said than done. You know,
he's an underrated counterpuncher, I think, Joshua. I think he is. If you look back at his career, he's like, look at the Pulev fight and stuff. He's really good at countering off the jab, for instance, coming back with right hands over the top and stuff. Like, very underrated in that sense. So I think you're absolutely spot on, bang on the money, because is Ngannou going to be used to that? because MMA people don't do it, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, well, it's different, isn't it? It's different. Mm. You got to worry about someone grabbing your leg or someone fucking doing something else, whatever they do. Eye gouge, I think they elbow.
That's illegal.
Is that illegal? You can bite them in the nuts, can't you, I think?
Can you? Can hope not.
Oh, no, wait, that's something else. No, you got to worry about everything. No, I want to see a great fight, but also I would love to see the intricacies of the difference between someone who's been boxing for a long time at top level and someone who hasn't, you know?
That'd
someone
be brilliant, wouldn't it?
Where you're just like, okay, he's setting him up. He's setting his shot. It comes. Sometimes you got to be patient. Sometimes you got to wait for it to land. But you're thinking, right, let's see an intelligent, measured performance. And I think with Joshua, who I can imagine him being the sort of athlete who's very adaptable and very easy to teach, very teachable. And Ben Davidson probably can only really work with people who have that element of teacher, being able to teach him, you know, because he likes to talk his point and get it across. So I can imagine him having a solid plan. And I can imagine Ben Davison's got Joshua's ear, so Joshua is willing to follow his instructions. I want to see a really good, tasty, aggressive boxing match, you know. I don't want to see Joshua go in there and just try and win on points and live to fight again. I don't think that's what they've signed up for. You know, they'll be
knockout chaos.
Knockout chaos, yeah. Is there any chaos bonuses? Because usually we hear about a knockout bonus, but is there a chaos bonus?
If you sort of generate some chaos. No, I don't think it's written in the thing. I think it won't suit Joshua if that fight descends into chaos, to be honest, but it will if he gets a knockout. Two quick questions then to finish on closing. If he wins, and he wins in style, you know, say boxes well and takes him out, what's next then? Are we thinking
Wilder?
Oh, nice.
Wilder,
you reckon?
Why not?
What's Wilder doing though?
Wilder will have it.
Yeah, Wilder, I'm sure Wilder will actually have a fight before then, but that's a shout. That's a total curveball, because we know that he'll probably be in line for the IBF when that fragments off. And his whole thing is he wants to win a belt. But the Wilder fight's going to make more money. And he'll look at Wilder now and he'll be like, this guy is a spent force based on what he did against Parker. He's like, I will knock him out after all these years. Yeah, that's a shout. Okay, I like it. So would you go Wilder rather than like Hergovic for the vacant IBF or whoever it is?
I don't think it'll be vacant IBF. I think that if they're going through the year now rather than through the season out in Saudi, and let's be honest, these fights are only going to happen in Saudi with a Saudi dollar. Let's go Wilder next. Wilder's in the gym all the time, but he don't pull the trigger. You know, he don't pull the trigger in the fight, and he don't pull the trigger to make the fight. He's been inactive for so long. I'm sure if they said, look, Wilder, he's got to be 37 now, is he? So we're saying to him, you ain't got long left, mate. Do you want to earn some money after Joshua fight? You just been beat by Parker.
He's got no choice now. It's finally do it.
Are you worrying about your legacy? Like, you know, it's some fighters, they have a rivalry and they're like, oh, I can't lose to that guy. That would be the worst thing in history. But I don't think them two have that sort of, they're not two Brits. Like, they're from the other side, and when they were supposed to be boxing each other all them years ago, you know, it has gone. And this could be redemption for Wilder. I think Wilder would take it, you know, because Wilder's in that space now where the harshness of boxing, people are going, 1 minute they're talking about him being the hardest punching heavyweight in history and the greatest of all time. And now they're like, well, who did he beat?
Yeah, now they're like, he's always been shit. Eddie Hearn's like that. He's like, I've never rated him.
Never rated him. He was never good. If he lands the right hand, great, but that's it. Who's he beat? He was losing to that guy until he won the knockout. He losing to that guy until he got the knockout. Put him in with Parker. Parker bashed him up. Couldn't fucking do anything.
It's true. I think he'd still look at Joshua and he'll go, oh, I'll have that. He's like, he'll be like, because he's mad, isn't he? Wilder's mental as well. Like, oh, no disrespect to him. Like, he's off his nut. He think, you know, he doesn't think the same as
thank you,
normal
doctor.
People.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that's the official explanation. But so he will look at Joshua and be like, what? That figure against Parker? I don't care about that. Yeah, I'll still knock him out. Here's a question though, George. Last one.
Oh, wait. Oh, go on. I was going to give you one last one.
Yeah, I'll give you one first. If Joshua loses, does he have to retire?
No. No. If he
still
loses,
fight Wilder.
If he loses, fight Wilder. Or Ngannou again. Or if Ngannou fights Wilder, he can then just go back to legit boxing and try and fight Hrgović for a final eliminator. Deck, I want to ask you, does Joshua win? And if he does, how does he do it?
I think he wins. I think he'll turn up with a plan. And I think that's so important to him. If you look at the first Usyk fight, he's talking to Clifton Mitchell during the ring announcements, basically saying, what shall I do with this bloke? Like, I don't think that was a good plan. Usyk and Ngannou, two different kettles of fish. No disrespect to them. Neither of them are fish or kettles, but you know what I'm saying. I think he'll turn up with a plan. He'll know exactly what he has to do, like a robot, and he'll go out and he'll execute it. And I think he'll keep it tight for a couple of rounds, keep it long. Any opportunity, he'll throw the right hand, but I'm thinking just jabs, head, body, variation with the lead hand, not doing much, not giving anything away. Then he'll look for a little opening. I think he takes him out like mid rounds. And I'm underrating and I'm maybe disrespecting Ngannou's durability because he's obviously super tough. But there's, in boxing, you only have to be buzzed and hurt for 10 seconds and then the fight is over. I think you get him at some point enough, in enough of a state to do that. And if he doesn't quite get that breakthrough, I think he'll win like, it'll win all but sort of two or three rounds. I think it'll be one of those fights. But I see him getting an opportunity and opening a window and taking it.
What odds do you reckon we can get on win via knockout, via uppercut?
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. Probably, I don't know, maybe it would be a special. Maybe we'll speak to some... Yeah, we'll speak to the bookmakers. And we'll get the double knockout and we'll get the uppercut. What, do you just see Ngannou forward?
I want double knockout and then win via via uppercut. And then if we can double it up as well. So it's like a double uppercut, knockout. So they both land it and they both go down.
Sounds like Street Fighter. Sounds like knockout chaos, that is. Fucking hell. Tiger. uppercut. I mean, that's obviously Joshua's money punch a lot of the time. Especially if you've got a smaller guy. I mean, Ngannou's not that much smaller, but he's just coming forward like that. Yeah, look, you can see it. And then there'll be a... That's the beautiful shot. If someone keeps pressuring you, the uppercut. And then obviously probably be the left hook that knocks him out though. It'd be a Klitschko situation.
No, I reckon straight uppercut, and then they both go back, and then so don't forget. Okay, well, don't forget if you land your uppercut as he lands his uppercut, it's then hard to get the hook off.
So both of you end up going up in the air like that. And let's see. This is the sort of insight you get at the George Groves Boxing Club. So it's a double uppercut knockout. You heard it here first. I mean, if this actually happens, they'll clip this up. This will go down in history. The double uppercut knockout, George Groves has called it. Any bookmakers out there, we'll take whatever price you got, we'll take it. Get in touch on the socials, yep. GG Boxing Club. So I think Joshua wins. You think double knockout via uppercut. I can't wait for it, George. I can't believe I'm saying that. Like, if you told me that a year ago, that I'd be buzzing about a Joshua Ngannou fight. But I think even if it's not a good fight, even if Ngannou's not quite makes it as competitive as we sort of expect it to, It's good. It'd be great for Joshua, and it's great for me as a bloody British journalist that Joshua is flying again because we need it.
Yeah,
it'd be a disaster if he loses in that sense, I've got to say, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, you put your eggs all in one basket, so it's you've only got yourselves to blame. Okay.
True. All no, right. Sam Eggington's not on the undercard.
Why is he not on the undercard?
Get him in. Get Ego in. Eggington's, he's probably ready to go. In.
Yeah, he's up for it. He's. Do you know Indeed. What you do if you get a nasty cut, right? Crack an egg, right? And then do you know that thin, like, film membrane that separates the shell from the egg? You got to somehow prise that off. You put that over the cut and it'll heal with no stitches.
Cheers, doctor.
I'll tell you, it was Eamon O'Kane. Eamon O'Kane taught me that, and Eamon O'Kane used it time and time again. He was a bit of a slasher. So shout out Eamon O'Kane.
Shout out Eamon O'Kane. O'Kane, well, that's enough of that, George. That's the Fury and Ngannou preview pod's done. Now all that's left to do is for the two big boys to weigh in. Luckily, they ain't got to make any weight. Some of the undercard do. It's actually the biggest undercard they've done ever in Saudi. It's a beast. We ain't got time. We're not in any position to go through it all, but that's a hell of a show. Chat shit gets zanged. He will bang anybody, and he's going to bang Joseph Parker. There's loads of them on that undercard. Yeah, and that's a Friday night. Friday night fights can't go wrong. So we'll be back. We'll have a chat about that, shall we, next week?
Yep, Nick to the Isaac Ball, he's on. Let's have a chat next week about it.
Yeah, Nick to the Isaac Ball. Yeah, we could get a new British world champion at featherweight. Nick Ball in an amazing fight against Ray Vargas could steal the show. Can't wait. What a night, George. And who knows, is it the end of Joshua? Or is it the start of the next phase and final phase of his career? Who knows?
Game over. See you, Dex.
See you, Knockout Chaos. Bye.